If you have your Bibles with you and you would like to follow the reading this morning, it will be Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 31. So we're in the season of post-resurrection. Jesus has already risen from the dead, as we've heard last week, and we celebrated. Now he begins to reveal himself to his disciples. And there's a lot going on in this period of time, not least a couple of guys on the road to Emmaus. Sometimes you need a friend, don't you, to chat along as you're walking, especially when things are a bit tough and you've got a long road to walk. Now that's metaphorical as well as physical, I think, because some of our long roads are in life and we think, oh my life, how am I going to get through this? And it's always good to have a friend alongside you to have a chat with. So I pray this morning that God will speak to you personally through his word. So Luke 24, verse 13. Now that same day, two of them, and that was the disciple, two of the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened as they talked and discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and started to walk along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them says, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in the word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we'd hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all these things took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? At the beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself.' And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." May God bless his word. Amen. I gave a little chuckle through that because at one point it just made me sort of laugh that their reaction, "What things have happened? Are you the only person in Jerusalem that has not heard of what's happened?" And I think that could be a lot of our reaction, really, couldn't it? If we were in the same sort of situation, you know, have you walked around with your eyes closed or something? Do you not know what's going on in the world? And then Jesus just appears, shows himself to the disciples, and then he disappears. It's quite remarkable how Jesus is and does what he does to help us to understand who he is. I was talking to someone the other day. I was just sat out on the wall and just asking them how they were doing. And they said they felt very despondent because of lockdown. They were very upset and very disappointed and all sorts of things. And not even Easter made them feel any better. I don't think they were Christian. I was heading that way, but the conversation was turned round. And most of their words, the words they were speaking, began with the letter D, which brought me to think that some of our saddest words in our English language begin with the letter D. For example, disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despondency, depression, despair, and death. I just wondered if you have ever noticed that before yourselves. Then I came across a quote from the film producer Woody Allen. Love or hate him, he's quite a successful film producer. And he was given an address at Yale University. And he said, "Our civilization stands at the crossroads. Down one road is despondency and despair. And down the other road is total annihilation." And he goes on to say, "I hope we'll take the right road." That is something to look forward to, isn't it? The reporter at the time said Woody Allen was obviously trying to be funny, but his statement reflects the despair and pessimism of our time. And that was long before lockdown ever happened. So I wonder what he would say now at this time. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, despair, and death. Do these words at the moment mean anything to you? Do they mean anything to you this morning? I know I felt all these words in my life at some point or another. Even the effects of death, not mine, I'm hastened to add. There's only one that's risen from the dead, and that's Jesus. But with my own parents dying, and it's been difficult. So as we look at this passage, all of these words sum up how Cleopas and his friend was feeling as they were dragging themselves up the road towards Emmaus. They left the other disciples, who were just as downcast as they were. They were just as confused, but also they were afraid. They were afraid because of what happened to Jesus dying on the cross, and they were afraid because of the rulers and the chief priests of what they might do. So these two guys were traveling along, and they were sad and disillusioned. Jesus, whom, you know, he just... they loved him. They just, why wouldn't they? All the disciples followed him. They loved him. They wanted the best for him. They didn't want him to be dying on the cross. But seeing that death on the cross, that cruel death, the degrading death on the cross, was not easy. Not only did they witness Jesus dying on the cross, which was bad enough, but Jesus was made to be a public spectacle as well, as people throw insults at him. How short people's memories are. Just a short week ago, before the death on the cross, if we look back, the people had hope. The people were sort of praising Jesus to fever pitch, and they were excited and they were welcoming him into Jerusalem. They were singing Hosanna, Hosanna, and throwing palm branches on the ground for him to ride his donkey over. And now Jesus, a week later, Jesus lay dead in a sealed tomb. They felt that their hopes had been dashed and the dream was over. All that praise and worship and excitement the week before to total disillusionment, sadness and disappointment, and their dreams, they felt, were shattered. Even the report from the women that the tomb was empty didn't sort of raise their spirits. It just confused them even more. The two despondent disciples were walking on the road to Emmaus, summed up the situation very neatly as they said, "We had hoped that he would be the one who was going to set Israel free. We hoped that he would be the one who is going to set Israel free." I think for us as humans, hope is a very frail thing, isn't it? When it withers, it's difficult to revive. When we feel our hope is gone, it's very difficult to then start to feel hopeful again, isn't it, about certain situations. The tragedy of people then and now that take their own lives because they have no hope. Despair and disappointment have sucked all the hope out of their life. It's sad when we look back over the last 12 months and seeing, due to lockdown, and seeing the rise in suicide. When you see someone that you love and care for is overtaken by serious illness, which goes on and on and on and on, despair sets in and hope is sucked out. It almost becomes impossible, doesn't it, to hope for a recovery. Some people may even be afraid that you don't want to believe in hope anymore because you've been let down so many times and you don't want to be let down again. As Cleopas said, we had hoped. What they were actually saying was, we didn't expect it now, but we did once. We once expected it. We had high hopes for the future. We all had high hopes for the future, but now those hopes are gone and we all just feel left with disappointment. Just wonder if you feel like that this morning. Can you identify with these feelings of the disciples in any way, shape or form? Perhaps not today, but perhaps in the past. You see, for each of us, the cause of feeling let down can be different. Some of us can say, okay, you've let me down. Okay, let's move on. But some of us carry that feeling, don't we? Oh man, I've been let down. I've been seriously let down. And I don't know how to get my head around it. But it would be a rare person indeed who could claim that they would not be affected by any of those words beginning with D. Disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, discouragement, depression, despondency or despair. As the two men walked along, a stranger joined them. Little did they know that this long slog up the road to Emmaus was going to be the most significant walk of their whole life. As they started off saying goodbye to their friends and the long walk up the road to Emmaus, their life was about to change forever. The stranger asked them what they were discussing, and so they poured out their hearts. They poured out the story to someone who was seemingly willing to listen. They just poured out everything that they were feeling. They just told the stranger everything that he was just willing to listen to. They tell the stranger about their hopes and about their disappointments. But the last thing they needed was a brisk, "Well, cheer up, lads, it's okay, there's another day tomorrow." Or being told to, you know, snap out of it. How many times has that happened to you? You know, pull yourself together, it'll be all right, don't worry about it. What are you worrying about? Our worries are our worries. And they're important to us. Sometimes we just need somebody to listen rather than to say, cheer up. And Jesus does that, doesn't he? He just simply provides a listening ear. As the three of them were walking up the road, talking about their misery and their disappointment, the stranger walks with them. Of course, we know who the stranger is. It's Jesus. But what a great picture. Can you just picture that in your mind? These two guys are walking along with their heads down, thinking, what on earth is going to happen now? And a stranger comes along and says, "Hi, how you doing? What are you talking about? Let me walk with you. Let me listen." Fantastic picture. So suddenly this 2,000-year-old story is brought into the present day, when disappointment and all those words beginning with D start to creep in on our lives. Jesus is the unseen stranger. He's walking alongside us. He's listening to us. And if we're willing to hear his voice, he will reveal himself to us. As Cleopas and his friend talked about the cross and their bewilderment and their sorrow, Jesus reassured them and he helped them. So how did he help them? Well, he pointed them to what God says in the Bible. He pointed them to his word. Luke tells us Jesus explained to them what was said about himself in all the scriptures, beginning with the books of Moses and the writings of the prophets. You see, when we read the Bible and when we feel disappointment or disillusionment, God has the answer for us. We need to encourage one another to read God's word. Jesus must have given these two guys the best lesson in Old Testament, reminding them of how sin came into the world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve. How those guys must have felt when Jesus was talking to them. Because, you know, you can get the best preacher in the world and you can think, man, he's brought that scripture to life. But God is scripture. That is his word. Jesus is talking about himself. How amazing would that have been? And how the prophets were sort of foreshadowed a saviour who would be obedient even to the point of death. That's just incredible. He may have also reminded them about Abraham and how Abraham almost sacrificed his son, Isaac. But he would certainly have told them about the Heavenly Father who did sacrifice his son for the sin of the people. No doubt he also would have referred to Isaiah's description of the suffering servant of God who was wounded for their transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. You see, these guys were disciples of Jesus, so they would have known scripture. They would have known their Bible for what they had at the time. But their understanding was clouded by the idea of the Messiah, would come with glory and power and rain and rain down fire on their enemies. They were expecting something big to happen and something massive happened, but they weren't thinking about that. They were expecting God to come down and put judgment on all the rulers and Rome and all sorts of things. But he died on the cross. They didn't see that coming. Yes, they heard about it many times. Jesus told them many times, but they didn't actually believe it. The two disciples could feel the despondency and the sorrow that they felt in their hearts suddenly starting to change. Starting to sort of, hang on a minute, we've got a little bit of understanding here. And there's hope. This stranger is explaining that Jesus' death was part of God's great plan. So their despondency and sorrow then started to shift a little bit. Jesus walks with us. Just as he walked with those guys along the road to Emmaus. He points us to God's word and the promises that we can stand on. He turns our despair into hope. There was a guy in our church back in Bournemouth who had was dying of cancer, and he was struggling with the disease for a long time, for a number of years. And he went through surgery, you know, radiation, chemotherapy and everything like that. And all the illnesses that associated with that disease and with its treatment. And we had a chat. And I asked him how he felt about the whole ordeal and where he is, you know, sort of this ordeal is leading him to. And he said it was very difficult at the time. At certain times because he felt so ill and he knew he was dying. But even so, he felt an astonishing amount of peace and joy. And I asked him if he was scared, you know, about the future, what lay ahead of him. And he replied, "Why should I be afraid? I believe in Jesus, my Saviour. I know where I've come from and I know where I'm going." Man, you wouldn't be sad, would you? When somebody says that to you, you think, good on you, man. I want some of what you've got. I want some of what you've got, some of that peace and that joy that you know where you've come from and you know where you're going. Like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, he was confronted by his Saviour. Even though there were times when he was sad and depressed at times through the treatment, he knew he wasn't walking alone. What a great feeling that's got to be, isn't it? That's got to be fantastic to know that you're not walking alone. Jesus is right there with you. Jesus gave him hope for the future, a hope that only a risen Saviour can give, a hope that only Jesus can give. He was blessed and he felt it. And those who visited him actually felt it as well, because I certainly did. The two disciples asked the stranger to stop with them for the night. And at the evening meal, he took bread and he said a blessing. Then he broke the bread and gave it to them. Wow. Suddenly it dawned on them who the stranger was. Have you ever read anything in the Bible, say 300 times, and then the 301st time you read it and say, wow, hang on a minute, I never noticed that before. That must have been the surprise that these guys had. Hang on a minute, this stranger is Jesus. Suddenly it dawned on them who the stranger was. It was their master, raised from the dead. Jesus himself had master-minded and ministered to them in their sadness. And he can do the same for us. Now they knew why a change had come over them as they walked up the road. Now they understood why their despair had disappeared. Now they knew that the despondency in their heart had been changed to the hearts filled with hope and a renewed faith. How cool is that? How cool is that? That's got to be really good. Jesus revealed himself to them in his word and through the sacraments. Can you picture now Cleopas and his friends standing in amazement? Just as they sort of stood in amazement, in disappointment, are you the only one in Jerusalem that doesn't know what's going on? To thinking, wow, it's Jesus. All this time, Jesus has been stood in front of us. What great joy they must have been with those guys. They must have embraced each other. They must have hugged each other and said, you know, wasn't it like a fire burning in us when he talked to us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? They felt it at that time of change, when disappointment was starting to go away from them and hope was starting to come back in. Their world had come together. They had experienced something of the grace of God. Because of his love for his despondent disciples, graciously Jesus came and met with them on that long road. Graciously he cleared away the fog of confusion. He showed them the heart of God and his plan for salvation, and how finally he revealed himself to them that he was alive. He had risen from the dead. At the moment that the stranger reveals who he was, he vanishes from their sight. Now, I haven't got a clue why he did that, but he must have had a very good reason for it. But he's not really gone. He's still visible to those who have eyes of faith to see him. Have we got faith this morning? Have we got faith this morning to see Jesus? Let me encourage you. He's right here this morning. He's with us. He's amongst us. Where two or three are gathered, Jesus is there. The Holy Spirit is there. He's with us. The road to Emmaus is a symbol for Christian life, really. The story is about ordinary despair and ordinary people, ordinary sort of Monday morning drudgery. Sometimes we get up and I've heard many people say, oh, I don't like Mondays. I think there was even a song about that, wasn't it? By the Boomtown Rats, I think. Bob Geldof. I don't like Mondays. It's a story also of meeting a stranger, hearing his words of comfort, and sitting down at the table and having a meal and sharing that meal with him. This is about a story about the meaning of Easter for every single one of us. It enables us to see the risen Lord, gives us hope and joy when all we see is despair, discouragement, and disappointment. If you're feeling like that this morning because of your situation, if you're feeling like that this morning because of lockdown, because of things that have happened, know this, that Jesus is with you. He is with you. He is standing alongside you. You see, when Jesus is with us, it enables us to see the world not as a place of death or decay or defeat, but a place of waiting, groaning towards God's final victory. The change that has taken place can be described like this. Their lives prior to this moment were like a smouldering fire that gives no light, just smoke to cloud things up. But once they come into the presence of the risen Lord, their hearts are ablaze. A burning fire gives light for all to see, and they saw, understood, and believed. All because the risen Lord Jesus' victory became their restoring hope. It became their anchor for their lives. The story about the walk to Emmaus is a story of everyday life. If you are walking the road to Emmaus this morning, then, or even you might do in the future, those sad words that begin with D, disappointment, doubt, disillusionment, defeat, despondency, despair. Just remember, we're not alone. We're not alone. The unseen stranger, the risen Jesus, is walking with us. Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is the Saviour and the hope of the world. When our Emmaus road is filled with discouragement and despair, let's walk with Jesus. Let's walk with Jesus. Walking with Jesus on the road will become a great highway. It will become a great highway of companionship, conversation, belief, and hope. I think at the beginning of the scripture that I read was, I think they said it was about 7 miles long, that road. How amazing must have that felt, that, you know, you're sort of here feeling absolutely like you've been dumped on and you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do. And you're slowly trying to pick your feet up to walk the 7 miles, which probably took about 2.5 hours, 3 hours. And then by the time you get to the end of the road, you're feeling like, great, this is fantastic. I've got hope back in my life. Let's go for it. We can really challenge the world now. Just remember, no matter where you're at, God is with you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. May it enrich our lives as we go from this place. But as the disciples were grieving it, Lord, so too are many of us in many different ways. Be with us, those that are grieving, Lord, especially for the royal family at this time, Lord. Help us, Lord, not to hold on to that despair that we feel so much sometimes. But Lord, help us to hand that despair over to you and receive the hope that you are willing to give us. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. And thank you for raising from the dead to give us hope. In Jesus' name, amen.